This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Recovery Radio. My name is Steve Martorano. We're here on Saturdays at this time talking about the disease of addiction and the road to recovery, most importantly. Recovery Radio is sponsored by Retreat, premier addiction treatment centers, and we'll have a lot more about them straight ahead. From their West Palm Beach facility, our guest today is Christopher Sposetti. Christopher is the shift administrator at West Palm Beach, and he has seen this disease of addiction from a couple of unique perspectives because of his background in the military and in criminal justice, law enforcement. Christopher Sposetti, welcome to Recovery Radio. Thanks for taking the time. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on today.
All right. So tell us a little about you and your background.
Well, I grew up in a pretty well-to-do area in Texas, and I didn't really realize it until later on in life. But, I kind of started to see the disease of addiction from a very young age. Where I was from, drugs, specifically heroin, was a pretty big problem. So I was kind of around it and came in contact with it pretty often. Throughout those experiences in my life, I ended up, after graduating from high school, joined the Army and served in the infantry. And from there, after I got out, I went directly into law enforcement and was a police officer in two different cities in Texas for about 5 years prior to coming into the field of addiction treatment.
Well, just a little bit briefly about what it was that led you to addiction treatment that was influenced by your military and law enforcement background.
When I was in the military, I saw addiction at work, hard at work. There were people within my unit who obviously had struggled with addiction prior to joining the military. And then through, the stress and combat circumstances that we faced, the disease just really kind of took off. So I saw that a lot when I was in the military with guys in my unit and just guys that I came into contact with, both back while we were back in garrison, not in combat, and when I was deployed to Afghanistan. So I got to see the devastation that addiction causes firsthand from that.
You were in Afghanistan on two combat tours in what years was that?
Yes, sir. I was there in 2007 and then again in 2009.
Okay. Well, you're not in the military now, so don't call me sir.
Fair enough.
With regard to men in on combat tours, in a place like Afghanistan, it's probably pretty easy to get drugs. Is that right?
It still took some imagination, but yes. I mean, a place like Afghanistan, everything from being offered things from the locals who lived in the towns and the little villages that we were patrolling, to unfortunately did see some soldiers who broke into the aid station to steal narcotics from the medics.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. So, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, unfortunate for sure. In your experience, and I know you were looking at this from a distance, men in combat, are they getting high to get high? Are they getting high recreationally? Are they getting high to reduce stress? What do you suppose the motivation is there different than it is other places?
From what I saw, the majority of the reasons for these people that were getting high was stress management. Especially where I was stationed, where we were deployed, it was a very, very remote area. It was just our platoon. We didn't have a whole lot of support. We didn't have a whole lot of of anything, really. And that takes a toll. And, you know, that takes a toll in and of itself without even taking into consideration the combat aspect of things. And we were conducting combat operations there as well. So the majority of what I saw and the majority of my experience there was, you know, guys trying to just escape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've seen men in combat under the influence.
Yes, unfortunately,
I have. And what, generally speaking, is that like? They certainly can't be better soldiers, can they?
No, not at all. It's something that is recognized very quickly and dealt with very quickly. Those guys, whenever that happens, the superiors, whoever's in charge, whoever's in command, has to jump in right away, and that ultimately hurts the unit because we essentially lose an individual.
Mm-hmm.
We lose a guy who had a specific job. For the betterment of everyone.
You've seen people in combat situations getting caught abusing substance abusing and being mustered out. What happens? Do they get help there, or they just are pulled out of their unit? How does that work?
From what I saw, and I don't have any real experience after the fact, so I don't know what kind of help was offered to them while they were still in country in Afghanistan. But after being caught, they were taken out of the forward operating position where we were, and taken back to one of the bigger air bases or bigger outposts or operating posts that we had.
Wait, in a combat situation, how well known is it among the other soldiers that people are fooling around with drugs?
It's kind of one of those little hidden things that, it's known, but not very many people talk about until it becomes an issue.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Pretty much, yeah.
You suppose that on some level, as long as you're able to function, there's a sort of, look in the opposite direction, because after all, this is a pretty rotten spot we're all in, so whatever it takes. Do you think that goes on some level?
Not from what I saw. From what I saw, the units that I were in, they did a really good job of trying to hold everybody accountable in those situations and in others that came up. So whenever those situations did come up, it wasn't really spoken about, but, at least to the lower enlisted guys like myself, but the superiors did, take action pretty quickly.
Our guest on the telephone from retreat at West Palm Beach is, Christopher Sposetti. Christopher is the shift administrator, which is another way of saying that very often he's running the place down there when his boss isn't around. We're going to find out how that job functions straight ahead. But right now, Chris is giving us his unique perspective. His eyes were opened as to the problem of substance abuse from his career in both the military and then later in criminal justice. So, Chris, I want to stay on this combat thing because this is not a new problem. I mean, the problem of substance abuse may be greater at this moment in time generally than it has ever been, but men in combat situations have been subjected to the disease of addiction and the access of drugs for a very long time. For my generation, it was Vietnam, of course, and the stories of substance abuse in Southeast Asia were terrifying, so much so that they thought if it were left unchecked or if we stayed over in Southeast Asia fighting very much longer, we would have a 500,000-man army, many of whom would be under the influence of drugs. Did you find it that pervasive in Afghanistan?
No, I didn't find it, as on such a large scale. Part of that, though, I think just is because of the remote nature of where the operations were that I was involved in. It was really the majority of my time in Afghanistan was spent just as a single platoon unit.
So you were around a very small group of people for a very long period of time.
Yes, yes, exactly. It was, you know, it was just us. It was just 40 guys out there trying to get the job done.
And you had two tours, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm always curious about, did you volunteer for the second tour, or you just, was it your turn to go back?
I actually volunteered for both tours.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and boy, you're not far from that military thing.
I keep forgetting to stop calling
you,
sir.
The problem is that, first of all, I know you outrank me, so... You outrank me. So Christopher, I know did you keep in contact with any of these people you served time with in Afghanistan?
Oh, absolutely. I still have contact with a handful of them. Some of the guys that, were specifically in my squad and in my fire team. We were really close. We essentially became brothers,
yeah,
through those experiences. We don't talk every day, but I still remain in contact with them.
Did any of them bring back from their military experience drug or alcohol problems that they had to deal with?
Unfortunately not.
Is that right?
Fortunately not, yes.
But of course, many others did.
Many others did, yes.
We're going to get deeper into Chris's background and how these experiences in the military and as a policeman in Texas have shaped his view that treatment is the field he wanted to get into. Straight ahead. You're listening to Recovery Radio. Don't go away. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Steve Martorano with you here on Saturdays. We talk about the disease of addiction. Sponsored by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, the facility in West Palm Beach, their latest. We are joined by Shift Administrator Christopher Sposetti. He is joining us on telephone, and we're going to be talking about what he does down there. But we're now taking a journey with Chris to his career, which is in treatment, and the events from his military and criminal justice background that shaped his view that this would be something he wanted to do. So Chris, you were in the service for 3 years, is that right?
Correct.
And then right into law enforcement?
Yes, as soon as I got out of the military, and we moved back to Texas, I jumped back into school right away to start pursuing my education, and started applying for jobs as a police officer all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And within 6 months, got a job as a police officer in a city just outside of Dallas.
Do you have a military or police in your family, in the background of your family?
My grandfather was in the military. He served in World War II. And an uncle of mine was in the Army during the Cold War era.
So, there's no long blue line in your family?
No, nothing like that.
Well, let me ask you about, and now you're in substance abuse treatment. So clearly at some point or somewhere in your background was this notion that you needed to help people, right? I mean, that's the common thread that runs through all these jobs.
Absolutely. When I got out of the Army, the transition to law enforcement just felt like a natural progression, something that I was used to. It was a paramilitary organization, very regimented, very, very disciplined, and something that I felt comfortable in right away. But that goal and the ultimate driving factor for why I wanted to get into that line of work was to help people. The whole fight crime, suppress evil kind of mentality, and I really just wanted to be out there doing what I can to make the area around me a better place.
Yeah, too many people take the police, fire, for instance, as, well, that's their job. There's a deeper thing going on there, obviously, for anybody that would strap on a badge and a gun or run into a burning house. There's got to be other motivations here. Tell me about the transition from the military to law enforcement.
There's definitely more motivation than just a job. The transition was pretty smooth. As soon as I got hired, I went through the police academy. Went through that. It was about a 6 month process just to get the training and the knowledge and the studying and everything that I needed to be able to be proficient at that job. From there, I went to the police department that hired me and went through even more training, more studying, more of everything, to really fine tune everything that was taught in the academy.
Mm-hmm.
I very, very quickly, upon getting out on the streets as a police officer, I was working patrol, and even just when I was in training with a field training officer, I very, very quickly saw kind of the truth of the cities that I worked in. These were areas that I basically grew up in, but just through the process of growing up, I kind of kept a blind eye towards what was going on around me. I was just focused on what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But as a police officer, when I was transitioning into that field, you get to see the behind the scenes stuff. You get to see you're exposed to, the crime problems. You're exposed to the issues with drugs and the fight on drugs. You're exposed to the people who are suffering with addiction and with alcoholism. And you're really, really kind of thrown into the front seat of seeing what all of that is like and what that's doing to people.
It's like a curtain being torn back, and or a rock being lifted up, and what's underneath it is not very, very pleasant. Lots of people would be hardened by that experience or made cynical about it. What were your impressions about it?
There's definitely a lot of that which happens. Unfortunately there are a lot of people in law enforcement who that's kind of how they deal with everything. That's how they handle the stress and kind of the muck of what that job entails is, they do become cynical.
They wall themselves off and compartmentalize everything.
Exactly, yes.
And the other unfortunate, and we'll get into this a little deeper in the next couple of segments, the other unfortunate tool that's used by people in law enforcement is drugs and alcohol. There's just no way around that. And I want to get into that a little more. So how long were you in law enforcement in Texas, Chris?
So I was in law enforcement for about 5 years. I worked for one police department for about 4 years, and then I transitioned to another department for a year before I ultimately decided that it was time for a change.
Was it all patrol work, street work, or what else did you do?
Yep, it was all patrol work. That was really kind of where I really liked to be. Every day was something different.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you were done with work, you were done with work. You didn't have to worry about like a caseload or paperwork piling up or anything like that. And working patrol gave me the opportunity to both encounter and deal with a variety of different situations.
Sure.
Everything from silly little things, which can be taken care of in 5 minutes, to being parts of investigations on some fairly, fairly big crimes.
At the end of the 5 years, how old were you?
Whenever I got out, I was in my early 30s.
Okay. And the next stop is a career in treatment. We'll pick up on that straight ahead with our guest on the telephone, Chris Bassetti. He is a shift administrator at Retreat West Palm Beach, and our guest on the telephone here on Recovery Radio. We have more with Chris. Don't go away. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. We're here on Saturdays talking about the disease of addiction and the road to recovery. Recovery Radio is sponsored by Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. Every week, I tell you, if this disease visits you or your family or loved ones, you're not going to know where to turn. It comes unexpectedly. No one ever seems to be prepared for the disease of addiction. You're going to need questions answered from reputable people. Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, they are those people. They have world-class facilities and just some of the best evidence-based treatment available. But they give you the phone number. They tell me to give you the phone number for informational purposes. If they can help you, they will. But if they can just answer questions for you, they'll do that as well. So write the number down. We hope you never have to use it. 855-859-8808. That's how you reach Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. 855-859-8808. From their West Palm Beach, Florida facility, Chris Sposetti is with us on the telephone. Chris is taking us through his career path, which is overwhelmingly guided by his sort of innate desire to be of service and help to his community, first in the military and then a five-year stint in law enforcement in Texas. And we're going to transition Chris into his current field right now, which is treatment. But tell me about the transition. What was it about your 5 years as a cop that seems to have led you into your current field of treatment?
So very early on in law enforcement, I was kind of bought into this idea, which there a lot of people in law enforcement still believe that, you know, addicts and alcoholics are just making poor choices, and all they have to do is choose not to use or not to drink. And you know, throughout my career as a police officer, you know, I saw that's not the truth. That's not the case. You know, I witnessed firsthand people who I would even make the arrests on, go to jail, spend the time they spent in jail, get back out, and go right back to the same behaviors in the same places with the same people. And it just seemed like this cycle that repeated itself over and over and over and over and over again. And you know, from my experience and from what I saw, just these people who are suffering from this disease of addiction just were not getting the help that they really needed. So I got to a point to where I decided it was time to not be part of that cycle anymore. As I said earlier, the whole reason why I got into law enforcement was because I had this desire to help people. You know, I really want to do what I can, do my part for those around me, to try to get them on track and try to help them get their lives to a place where they want it to be. And I felt like transitioning out of law enforcement into the field of addiction treatment was the way to do that.
Did you have any personal experience? I mean, I know you're not in recovery, but did you have any personal experience with people who had been struggling with drugs or alcohol?
I have. I've seen it in my family.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it in friends. I saw it when I was in the Army, and I saw it, you know, with officers that I worked with that struggled with alcoholism.
Yeah, I want to talk about the toll it takes on police and other first responders. So it gets in your head. So you're also obviously results driven. In other words, your job is wonderful as long as you can see that it is going somewhere, doing something, and is, as a cop, all you see is a revolving door. Correct?
That's exactly what I saw.
So again, why you know, how did you come to choose a career at Retreat?
So I had some family members who were involved with Retreat in Lancaster County, and you know, even while I was in law enforcement, they kept telling me, "Hey, you know, you got to come check this place out. You need to come see what we're doing here. You'd fit in great. It'd be really, really good." And I eventually took them up on that. I came up and I did a tour of the facility. I really got to see the passion behind the mission at Retreat and everybody that's involved. You know, there's just as soon as you walk onto one of the retreat properties, you can feel the energy from the staff, how everybody just wants to dig in and go above and beyond and do everything they possibly can to be helpful to those who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up to retreat in Lancaster County and I did a tour and just immediately fell in love with the place, fell in love with retreat and wanted to be part of that team.
The other stark difference, I would guess, in the two cultures that you were transitioning from, law enforcement and now this, is that in the therapeutic or retreat context, the premise is let's help these people because they need help. They have a disease. That's in very stark contrast to a lot of the attitudes that exist in the criminal in the law enforcement arena, correct?
It is. Like I said, you know, in the law enforcement arena, a lot of people just simply do not understand addiction as a disease, and they view it as, you know, people just making bad choices, and which is why there's the system in place that it is, with focusing on punitive measures to correct behavior rather than focusing on therapeutic models to help people who are actually suffering from a disease.
What did you have to do to get up to speed on this new career?
So I started with retreat as a CA, as a clinical aide, which basically I was just involved with patients day to day, you know, everyday kind of things, with helping them to get to where they needed to be, helping them to you know, find their way around whenever they were new to the facility, you know, all different kinds of just basic tasks.
What was your impression?
To be there and be helpful.
Yeah. What was your impression of, if you think back to this, what were your impression of these people coming in? I mean, obviously it stood apart from some of what you saw in law enforcement, where people said these are folks just screwing up all the time. What was your impression of people that you were dealing with at that early stage in your career here now? What kind of people did you think they were?
Well, really, it confirmed what I believed, which is the reason why I got out of law enforcement. Whenever I was in law enforcement later in my career, you know, I recognized addiction as a disease, and I recognized that these people aren't bad people just making bad choices. These are good people. They're human beings. They're hurting. They're suffering, and they need help. They don't, not punishment, help. And when I transitioned out of law enforcement and into addiction treatment with retreat, I you know, that was confirmed. You know, these people that I was working with, and the people that I continue to work with now, they're good people. They're people who are hurting, who are suffering. They're people who need help. They're in a bad place right now, but
so,
it's not where it needs to stop.
Right, it's not where it needs to be all the time. That's
exactly,
that's true enough. So what are your duties now that you've been there a while?
So now, as the shift administrator, I work in place of the executive director when he's not here. So I oversee the functioning of the facility, everything from patient care, staff. Just a pretty broad spectrum.
Our guest on the telephone from West Palm Beach Retreat Facility there is Christopher Sposetti. He is, as you heard, the shift administrator at Palm Beach. He's had an interesting background, brought along to a career in treatment by his background in the military and criminal justice. But way more than that, it's obvious to me, is Chris's sort of innate desire to help people. There should be more people like Chris in the world. We have more with him. We're going to talk about what he's learned about treating first responders and people in the police department straight ahead on Recovery Radio. So we hope you'll stick around. And welcome back to Recovery Radio. Steve Martin-Winter with you. Our guest on the telephone from Retreat in West Palm Beach is Chris Sposetti. He is the shift administrator there. He's taking us through his career and in criminal justice and the military, and now in treatment at Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. And it's great stuff. As I said, a young man who's absolutely dedicated to helping people. So Chris, in this final segment, I want to take a look at the two areas of experience you've had, the two types of people you've been in contact with that brought you to this current career in substance abuse treatment, and that is military veterans and then first responders or law enforcement people. Talk us through what's going on at a place like Retreat in West Palm Beach with regard to veterans.
Well, Retreat, we just entered into a partnership with the VA. And this, the new legislation for the VA that's been all over the news, I'm sure everybody's heard of it, it has been absolutely huge. It's been able to address some of the gaps that were in the healthcare system and allow veterans to really get access to the healthcare and to the treatment that they need. So we've entered into a partnership with the VA, and we're really just we're diving in.
So if somebody out there is struggling with drugs or alcohol and they are a veteran, what is the procedure for them to get to a place like Retreat?
If they have their health care through the VA, then that's where they need to start. They can go to their local VA hospital or VA clinic and let them know what exactly they are going through, what they're struggling with. And then from there, if the VA does not have a program themselves in-house, then what they can do is refer them to Retreat.
And that's where you guys come in.
Correct.
How many veterans are you seeing more veterans than before now that you've struck this cooperative agreement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have been getting veterans in pretty steadily since entering into that agreement.
And give me some ages and some of the what's common about any of them? Are they abusing drugs? Are they abusing alcohol?
There's a wide range. We have people, veterans here from the Vietnam era. We have veterans here who were involved in Operation Enduring Freedom, as I was, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and struggling with all different areas of addiction, from drugs to alcohol.
And you also, I'm sure, confront with this client base, post-traumatic stress, as well as the substance abuse piece, right?
Absolutely.
And Retreat deals with those co-occurring situations.
Correct, yes. We have specific tracks for people who are struggling with co-occurring issues. We have a group that meets regularly, specific for veterans, to jump in, identify, and start working through some of those situations and those issues that are very specific to veterans.
Now, and the other problem that one hopes has been altered or corrected, apparently VA hospitals and doctors have been often, as I won't say careless, but loose with prescribing painkillers to veterans. That's a problem, or has been a problem, correct?
That's been a problem kind of everywhere in the medical field that we've been seeing, and it's been coming to light more all over the place.
Well, it's great that Retreat is taking the lead there in reaching out to veterans, because we ever hear are horror stories about what the VA is doing for those people. So it's good to see that there are agreements being struck between people like Retreat and the veterans. Finally, about policemen. What did you see with regard to their problems with substance abuse, and how is it different? How is it different than the general population?
First responders, police officers, where my experience was, they are exposed to situations which are equivalent in stress to what military veterans face whenever they go to combat. As a police officer, you deal with people who are in some pretty bad situations, 99% of the time while you're at work. And that takes a toll. There's a considerable amount of stress, physical stress, emotional stress, and mental stress that gets put on first responders. And unfortunately, that does result in substance abuse problems. I saw firsthand officers that struggled with alcoholism. It is an issue. It's an issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, alcoholism seems to me to be the sort of go-to substance to wall off the grind of being a policeman in this day and age. So in a situation, in a context like retreat, for instance, when you see people who are either a military background or a law enforcement background, is the treatment shaped around their unique experiences, or is it the same treatment everybody else would get?
It is shaped around their unique experiences. Because those experiences are unique, they need to be addressed specifically. So our approach with first responders is very similar to our approach with veterans. There's a lot of grief and loss. There's a lot of PTSD that's encountered in that profession. So those are areas of focus and areas that we really try to hone in on.
So, Chris, I know it's not been that very long that you've been in the field of drug and alcohol treatment, but how are you liking it so far?
I love it. I'm very, very, very glad that I was able to make this transition, and I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity that retreat has given me.
Chris, thanks so much. Chris Spossetti at West Palm Retreat, we thank you for your time, and again, thanks for everything, your service and your willingness and desire to help people. That's admirable. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and please look for Recovery Radio each and every Saturday. Bye-bye.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.